Will you bow with me? God, our mother, you bring human beings into the world, babies, beautiful and vulnerable, helpless and amazing, each one a miraculous achievement of physical grace, with minds and hearts and lungs and eyes and hands. And though not everything always works perfectly in every one, and many tears are shed when unforeseen challenges present themselves, the blueprint is beyond the scope of human imagination, amazing as even that great gift is. God, our Father, you see young people sent off to war. You strengthen sons and daughters who put their lives on the line for the sake of others. You call young people with missionary zeal into your service in places far from home or tough neighborhoods in their own country. You watch over everyone, knowing each one is a loved one of someone. And you keep vigil over all living things. You see school children and young adolescents go out the door to schools or parks or movie theaters or restaurants. And, O God, you know what is awaiting us all. And Abba, Father, our brother Jesus has taught us to commend ourselves and our spirits into your loving hand and your eternal care. God, our teacher and our friend, our judge and redeemer, our Lord and Master, King of kings, Lord of lords, sovereign over all who hold seats of power, captain of the captains of industry, who profit from the easy and vast and lucrative sale of military-grade weapons into a civil society of schools and playgrounds and movie theaters and restaurants. Judge us, O God, in your mercy, for Christ's sake, judge us, because your judgment is righteous, while the judgment we inflict upon ourselves is the slaughter of our children, amid either cacophonies of babbling nonsense or a deafening dumb silence from many of our officials, amid corruption openly flaunted by political operatives and celebrated by cheerleaders in the booming Wild West industry of opinion-driven media, accountable only to corporate shareholders. Please, God, please, I pray with hope and trepidation and trust in your gracious mercy, please unleash your judgment upon us all. At least your judgment is just and righteous and loving and merciful, unlike ours, which is driven by fear and let loose in the world by willful faithlessness to our God and our neighbor and ourselves. Judge our cowardice against the courage of the student who held a door so that other students could escape and died of his gunshot wounds, the football coach who threw his body between a six shooter's AR-15 and students in the line of fire, absorbed a hail of gunfire, and died of his gunshot wounds, the athletic director who unhesitatingly risked his life to protect others and died of his gunshot wounds. Please, O God, in your mercy, please judge us in this Lenten season with more righteousness than we can muster. Our own judgment has proven clouded and inadequate. Judge us all, O God, until the carnage stops and we no longer fall into sleepless bed with the cries of bereaved parents in our ears and the blood of our preposterously violent society's children on our hands, which have so often failed you. If it be your will, O God, and only if it be your will, so be it. So be it. In your mercy. Amen.
Amen.
Have you ever been to the wilderness? Every Lent, I haul out Frederick Buechner's Lent questions, just like every Advent, I bring out my artificial Christmas tree. They are, in a way, a journey into the wilderness. If you had to bet everything you have on whether there is a God or there isn't, which side would get your money? Why? If you had to bet everything you have, your home, your money, your insurance, your car, your cell phone, your photographs, your reputation, on whether there is a God or there isn't, which side would get your money? And why? When you look at your face in the mirror, what do you see in it that you most like? And what do you see in it that you most deplore? If you had only one last message to leave to the handful of people who are most important to you, what would it be in 25 words or less? Of all the things that you've done in your life, what is the one you would most like to undo? And which is the one that makes you happiest to remember? Is there any person in the world or any cause that if circumstances called for it, you would be willing to die for? And if this were the last day of your life, if you knew this were the last day, what would you do with it? Buechner says, after being baptized by John in the River Jordan, Jesus went off alone into the wilderness, where he spent 40 days asking himself the question, what it meant to be Jesus. During Lent, Buechner says, Christians are supposed to ask one way or another what it means to be themselves. Percy Harrison Fawcett was the quintessential dashing late Victorian explorer. I'm reading from a book review of a book that came out about that explorer about 10 years ago. Tall, steely, and virtually indestructible, Percy Fawcett spent much of his life mapping the Amazon basin. In 1925, he set out to find a legendary city he called Z, a glittering oasis of civilization supposedly sequestered deep in the jungle. Whereupon, the jungle, having nibbled at him for decades, swallowed him alive. Before he left, I'm still reading from the book review, before he left, Fawcett remarked, if with all my experience we can't make it, there's not much hope for others. About that much, he was correct. Dozens of search parties followed him in, and as many as 100 people died in the hunt. In the years that followed his disappearance, looking for Fawcett became practically a fad. One would-be rescuer, an English movie actor named Albert de Winton, was found by some Indians years later, floating naked and half mad in a canoe. In 1979, Fawcett's signet ring came to light in a shop in Brazil. The man himself never did. I like to imagine that Mark would have been intrigued, the gospel writer Mark, would have been intrigued by a brash, daring, larger-than-life explorer like Fawcett, who waded into the Amazon, and as the author of that book described it, his men moved fast, and anybody who couldn't keep up had to be left behind to be swallowed up by the jungle. The point of that, they said, was in a way humanitarian. He knew that every day that he and his men spent traipsing through the deep wilderness was another day of risks, of everything from animal attacks to disease to starvation to who knows what. They had to move as quickly as possible to get the whole ordeal over with as quickly as possible. But they never made it out, leaving the rest of the world to wonder, whatever happened to Percy Fawcett and the many adventurers who went into the deep wilderness with him? Have you ever been to the wilderness? Jesus was baptized by John in the Jordan River, and as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." And immediately the Spirit drove him out into the wilderness. He was in the wilderness for 40 days to endure a test proctored by a character whom we first met in the Old Testament, a member of God's heavenly court called the Accuser, or in Hebrew, Ha-Satan, the Satan, the Satan, transliterated into English as Satan. As usual with Mark of Jesus, 40 days in the wilderness, we get no dialogue, no reasons, no explanation, no interpretation. But just like in both Matthew and Luke, the public ministry of Jesus that grafts the blueprint for all of us who would follow Jesus comes only after he emerges from that crucible in the wilderness. Have you ever been through the wilderness crucible? Proverbs 17:3 says, "The crucible is for silver and the furnace is for gold, but the Lord tests the heart." A few years ago, the musician Peter Gabriel was talking about his experiences in group therapy. And he said, "I discovered the most unbelievable phenomena, plural, within myself. Characteristics which I value for myself, but also characteristics with which I would rather not be confronted. Like unlimited rage or merciless hatred. I didn't know about those sides of myself at all. But they were undoubtedly there, and they're still there today. The effect of the therapy was that I had to come to terms with this." It's not inappropriate for a disciple to wonder, if the Spirit were to drive me into the wilderness, if I were to make that journey deep into the interior, what wild beasts might be waiting in there, roaring their terrible roar, gnashing their terrible teeth, rolling their terrible eyes, showing their terrible claws. You remember that book, Where the Wild Things Are? And once I gather up, like Percy Harrison Fawcett, all the courage and confidence and self-will I can muster to get in there, how do I know that I'll make it back out? An actor named Tracy Ellis Ross was recently presented with a recognition called the Fierce and Fearless Award for her work. And in her acceptance speech, she said, and remember, this was called the Fierce and Fearless Award. She said, "I am often afraid, but I have come to understand and listen to the fear. I walk toward it. I lean into it to find information and things that it has to teach me. Except," she said, "if it says run, then I run. I run very fast, and I cry a lot, and I text, and I email, and all those kinds of things. But otherwise, I pay attention, and I learn." But, she said, "I'm no longer afraid of being afraid." Have you ever been to the wilderness? I'll call him Tony. While his wife had always been active, Tony became active in church life only in late middle age, just after retirement, following a very successful career in a large firm that provided him a very nice pension. People at church knew him as a good guy, a real contributor, participated in most church-based events, and a real mensch, you know, a really just a good guy outside of church activities. What they didn't know was that most days Tony would wake up, start drinking, and not stop until he was lying on the floor. Tony credited church life for helping him find the strength and courage to get help, drying out and starting on a program to which, to his dying day, as far as I know anyway, he remained impeccably faithful. Tony and I were having a conversation very similar to what this concept is about. And looking at the text, I said, you know, there may be wild beasts in there. There may be angels in there. And Tony said to me with a hard-earned smile that only wisdom could produce, "When I went in the wilderness, I saw that God was there." A lot of times these days it feels like we're already all deep in the wilderness. And sometimes it seems like the wild beasts seem to have the upper hand. There's nothing faithless about feeling rage at human atrocities, or bafflement in the face of intellectual absurdities, or unsure of yourself in the face of overwhelming challenges. A rabbinic scholar once paraphrased an essential part of the Talmud: "Do not be daunted by the enormity of the world's grief. Do justly now, walk humbly now, love mercy now. You are not obligated to complete the work, but neither are you free to abandon it." God said to Noah, "I am establishing my covenant with you and your descendants after you, and with all the beasts in every wilderness. Never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of a flood, and never again will there be a flood to destroy the earth." As Graham Greene wrote in a book called Brighton Rock, "You cannot conceive, nor can I, of the appalling strangeness of the mercy of God." God doesn't want to destroy you. God wants to give you every opportunity to be more like Jesus. And God's covenant was made not only with humankind, but with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the domestic animals, and every animal of the earth with you. Maybe even, I wonder, the beasts that roam and roar and roll their eyes and gnash their teeth in our interior landscape, in here, where the wild things are. My beloved siblings in Christ, may these 40 days give you clarity and hope and strength. May they draw you closer to God. May you come out of this wilderness more able and perhaps more inclined to love your neighbor and yourself. May your wilderness experience bring you face to face with whatever interior beasts you need to encounter. And may you learn from that encounter that they can be whispered into submission with God's help and perhaps the help of others. And when you are ready to emerge on the far side of your wilderness, whatever it may be, may the angels come and see you safely through and lead us all onward to a bright Easter morning.